Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. God's words through the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, beginning with the 9th verse. Get up on a high mountain, O Zion, you herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, you herald of good news. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Look, God the Lord will come with strength, and his arm is ruling for him. Look, his reward is with him. The result of his work is in front of him. Like a shepherd, he will care for his flock. With his arm, he will gather the lambs. He will lift them up on his lap. He will gently lead the nursing mothers. This is the word of God. Dear friends in Christ, there is no age limit on truth. There's also no age requirement on truth. When I was growing up and we went to a theme park, there was usually a meter stick that said, you must be this tall to enter the ride. And at McDonald's, you couldn't be taller than this in order to go into the ball pit. Now, I was a child with a long neck and a big head, and I ended up being pretty tall for my age. Proof positive, they cast me as the ugly duckling in kindergarten. The ugly duckling. But it was a lead role. I was very happy, actually. Yet, being a tall kid, I didn't really want to ride on roller coasters at my younger age. I wanted to go in the ball pit, but I wasn't allowed to pretty quickly, in fact. So that was a little bit of a disappointment. But the truth isn't like that. See, the truth, you don't have to be this tall or this old or this small or this large or... There is no age requirement or age limit on truth. I'll give you some examples. Happy things can happen to people of all ages. You can celebrate a birthday at age 1 or age 81. Tragedies can happen to people of all ages. That's why we hold a child's hand and look both ways before we cross the street, because an automobile has enough force to hurt someone, young or old. It's true theologically as well. Sin takes place in tiny hearts as well as old. But God's grace is for people of all ages, from young to old. And even the young can believe, as Paul said to Timothy, from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. There's a whole lot in that verse, but one of them, of course, is that faith can occur already in infancy. And we have other places in the Bible where we can draw that truth. You know, there was a time when Jesus did just as Isaiah prophesied. Jesus, in his arm, gathered the lambs. And he lifted up a child in his lap and set a child before the apostles. And made him into an example of humility while all the 12 were arguing about who was the greatest. Jesus set before them a child and said, to inherit the kingdom of God, you must have a faith like unto this one, such as these little ones. And I really like what Martin Luther says about that. Luther says, we should really be addressing children with the proper title. For Luther, in his language, it was Herr Doktor, or we might say Mr. Doctor, someone who has achieved a doctorate in faith. Because Luther says that when you see a child on his father's lap, you should take off your hat and say, we should be ashamed of ourselves before you, Herr Doktor. We must become as little children, because a child does not have in his heart the malice of a prince or noble. A child hears prayer and believes. A child thinks about candy and clouds in heaven. A child hears impossible things for us to understand, and by faith alone leans not on her own understanding. And for us adults, I think it's even harder for us to enter the kingdom of heaven, because we have to strip away all the worries and cares and anxieties of this world and become, as Jesus says, like one of these, like such as these. In fact, Luther said, if we were to become like little children, even the Pope and I and other men would be of one heart and mind. So Luther, always resisting the Pope, but never on purpose. It just happened because what was at stake? It was the truth. It's the same thing that Isaiah was talking about in our sermon text. And today, Isaiah offers no age requirement, no age limit, as he proclaims, in substance, let the truth of Jesus Christ be told. It's both a heavy task to lead children to Jesus and a privilege to lead children to Jesus. Let's back up. I'll tell you a little bit about why man was created. Two purposes. The one was to live and work the ground and have dominion over the earth. And the second was to live for God and with God forever. And both the reign on earth and immortality were lost, as you know, in sin. And so we have to rediscover all of those things, or rather be informed that plan that God devised for the saving of sinners. When we go to Isaiah, he tells us about God's special people, and he explains to them, because you haven't followed the plan that's unfolding within your people, the Christ would come through these people of Israel, the people of Judah specifically, the southern kingdom and Jerusalem, who were still left. There was going to be a destruction. But then Isaiah goes on and says, even before the destruction happens, decades before the destruction happens, he says there's going to be a restoration after that. God will bring an answer to the people in all of their strife and in all their woes. And we have the same answer. The same answer that Adam and Eve had. The same answer that the people of Israel had. It's the answer that shows up in our preschool daily. It's the answer of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Did you catch it when Isaiah said, this is our God? That's pretty incredible to hear the gospel long before it even happens. But this is our God. Christian preschool has a double purpose, just like any school. A school should have the purpose of explaining how to make a living in the world, how to live right before men and women, everyone out there, but also teach the way to salvation. Both are needed. Both are important in a school. I'll tell you what Luther says again. Sorry, I'm probably reading too much Luther. I'm not really sorry, but I think this is good. He says, some teach nothing but the scriptures. Others teach the children nothing from the scriptures, both of which are not to be tolerated. Nothing but the scriptures, nothing from the scriptures. If a Christian preschool is going to be an answer to the double purpose of humankind, you're going to teach earthly knowledge and knowledge for salvation. Both are going to be a priority. So we hope that our children in our preschool grow up, get into kindergarten, grow up and become godly men and women. We hope that happens, and we hope that through our preschool we offer that opportunity, but also that they receive a truth that they treasure, not just to shun sin and evil ways and vice, but also to walk in the fear of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. So that they know where their souls are going to go when they die. And not just know what happens in death, but what comes after death, the hope and eternity of heaven. It behooves a Christian preschool to tell you that. This is what the prophet commands when he says, get up on a high mountain, O Zion, you herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, you herald of good news. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Who is Zion? Who is Jerusalem that heralds this good news or glad tidings? Well, this is the New Testament church when Isaiah refers to Zion. It's the church of Jesus Christ. Big C, all believers of all time everywhere. That's who's supposed to lift up their voice and explain these glad tidings. It's the same glad tidings that you hear the angels proclaiming in the fields of Bethlehem to the shepherds. It's the same glad tidings that tells us of little Jesus who grew in wisdom and stature. It's the same glad tidings of Jesus who went to his sufferings and death on the cross, really our death. This is the same Jesus Christ, the same glad tidings of Jesus Christ who picked up his life anew and shares it with me and with you. What's in Zion shouldn't stay in Zion, but should be shared with all the world. You hear that, right? What happens here stays here. Not in Zion. What happens in Zion, we go up to a high mountain and we shout it and proclaim it. The good news, in fact, is the most sacred part of what we do here, among all of our fellowship activities, among all of our conversations, among all of our meals. The good news is chief and foremost. This is what we pray for night and day. So we pray for night and day as well for our preschool. It's the highest role of our preschool and chief objective. Now, I wish we had a high mountain out here where we could walk up that high mountain, maybe get a little exercise and stand at the top and shout glad tidings to the whole community every day, day and night. That would be pretty cool. God didn't give us a mountain. God has given us instead these pews. He's given us this microphone and this sound system. He's given us the internet and he's given us a preschool. And any Christian preschool worth its confession wants to play a role in fulfilling what Isaiah says in verse 11, with his arm he will gather the lambs, he will lift them up in his lap. What would it profit Zion if we could convey earthly knowledge but never tell them about Jesus Christ? What good would it be if on the last day the Lord would say, where are the souls of the community and the little lambs entrusted to your care in your preschool? And we said, well, our preschool was financially viable as a business and helped children prepare for kindergarten. We had nothing but earthly things to tell the people. Well, then I would never want the Lord to answer this, but maybe he would. You learned to balance the books, but withheld the bread of life. You were so interested in explaining the things of this earth that you will receive now the fate of this earth. No, this is what Isaiah says. Look, his reward is with him. The result of his work is in front of him. And I think it's important that although as a Christian congregation, we're always seeking to be good stewards of our treasures. We shouldn't see an investment as a bleed or a hemorrhage. We should see it as it truly is, a reward that we're placing into tiny hearts and little minds and growing bodies. You see it not as a bleed, but a seed. Sending out the message of Jesus Christ. Well, those with a preschool must aim at arming the little lambs of Zion and placing little lambs of Zion into the arms of Zion's shepherd. I mean, why not perform this task, this privilege, boldly? It's not like a shy thing for Isaiah to say, get up on a high mountain, lift up your voice with strength, lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. That's not something you kind of go up on a mountain and whisper. No, there could be waves and winds underneath someone high up on a cliff, but that person on the cliff isn't concerned with how the people below consider the message. That person on the high cliff proclaims the message. That's what the messenger does. He tells it loud. This is our God. It's a privilege. We spread the message ashamed? No. This is the gospel. It's the power of God, the dynamite of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Love us or hate us, let's do what's right without flinching. Because leading a child to Jesus is a work that Satan hates. He employs all of his tools to go against it. The whole kingdom of darkness is against us here at Bethlehem and in our little town of Bethlehem. The whole kingdom of darkness is against anyone who might teach and preach and share God's word in its truth and purity. We have our own sinful flesh to contend with because the old Adam really never wants to work for Jesus. You can't convert the old sinful nature part of you. It's impossible. We can drown it daily by sorrow and repentance like we talk about in Lent. But the gospel is preached to the new man within us to grow the good, to strengthen us in faith, and to voice the word of God into the community. We have the depraved influences of our society. It manifests even on educational TV and in books, the things they're saying to children who plop down and watch. Just consider our struggle, not against flesh and blood. What is being taught if this church isn't teaching it? If Zion isn't teaching it? If the true church of Christ isn't explaining it and telling people about Jesus? We don't always see the fruits of our labors, and that's where the discouragement sets in. Maybe we're not doing it right. Maybe we don't know what we're doing. But we can't forget that it's God who hires the laborers. It's God who owns the vineyard. It's God who frequently chooses the people that the world out there wouldn't choose. And the means that are so simple, who would choose bread and wine to share salvation? We might expect cookies and milk and other sweets, candy at least, something fancy, something that is difficult to prepare, but Jesus chooses small and simple means, bread and wine, to share his salvation. Because in, with, and under that bread and wine is his true body and true blood. Jesus gives us the means of baptism, the sacrament of baptism, as a means of grace, where we dip our hand in and we feel the waters under the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Who would choose that? But it is the Lord who chooses his sowers and reapers, and him alone. And he makes every one of them sufficient to accomplish what he set out to do. And that's what we hear in verse 10. Look, God the Lord will come with strength, and his arm is ruling for him. There's no blessed work under the sun than to lead children to Jesus. There's nothing better than that. Jesus says, but if anyone should cause one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, by the way, that cause to sin, that's the biblical word scandalize. It doesn't just mean offend, make the child feel bad. It means cause that child to sin. It's a misleading word. It's a word that presents a false teaching and then leads the follower of that false teaching into eternal destruction because it's a causing to sin. Jesus continues, it would be better for him to have a huge millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Now, if it's such a great sin to let children depart from Jesus, how much more a privilege to lead children to Jesus? To day in and day out explain to children what the truth really is. A truth that's not subject to opinion, like, well, that's her truth or that's his truth or their truth out there, which is really not truth, because truth is firm, it's balanced, it's structured, and it's real and right whether I believe it or not, because it exists. It's true. That's the message that you and I have to share. And not only is there no age requirement for truth, there's also no expiration date. The community around here has memories of our preschool, 5, 10, 15, 18 years old. And some of our workers still hear those memories when they meet them in the market or when they chat with them on social media. We have done a job of seeding the gospel into little hearts. And that has been part of our ministry for a while now. Because these children really don't even belong to us. You might say, well, that's just your children. They believe in the message because they belong to you. But it's really the opposite. The reason that this message of the gospel is so special is because these children aren't ours. They're not little town of Bethlehem's. They're not even their parents. Children are a trust given to us. And God wants us to treat them as such, to lead them to the Good Shepherd, who has simply given us the privilege of sharing the truth. Let the truth be told. In Jesus' name, amen.